Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race, and I will take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything that's related to the subject matter at hand, but I will give you a word of warning. If you come in here indulging in character assassinations and ad hominem attacks and trolling and things of that sort, excessive profanity, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. But if you want to come in here and be disrespectful, then you will suffer the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. Okay? But you call in, talk about anything related to the subject matter, but just keep that in mind, okay? Well, you all, it has been 2 weeks. 2 weeks felt like 1 week, though, because like I said, everything is happening in the world at light speed, and it's kind of crazy what we're going through this time and age. This day and age, I really have to admit to you all, I am ticked off. I am very, very angry about what is going on in our world today. And it just seems like there are certain people in play who really don't give a flip. The word I want to use is stronger than that, but I don't use that type of language anymore. But what you see is a precursor to a socialist society eventually becoming a communist society, where the upper echelons, the elites, really don't care about the thoughts or the intents or the best interests of those that they so-called govern. The elites believe that they are elite because they are special. They think they see themselves as gods among the people. And so if anyone there's challenged them. You have challenged the very essence of their godliness, so to speak. And these people see themselves as gods. And they think they're above everyone else. So when people come and they have a concern and they say, hey, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, they just tend to blow you off. They tend to ignore you. And it gets frustrating sometimes because it's like, do you even see what's going on? But their response is almost like, well, hey, I'm a god. So I'm not concerned about what you're concerned with. You stay in your lane and I'll stay in mine. And this is why I don't get into politics too much. This is why I don't respect positions of leadership a lot. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have some type of respect or whatever, but this is why I don't respect certain parts of leadership, because leadership, for the most part, to me, I'm not saying what leadership is supposed to be, but I'm saying from what I've experienced in my life, for the most part, leadership has shown itself to be disrespectful to those that they're supposed to be leading. I say this about government, administrators, teachers, parents, things like that, because a lot of people who are in these so-called positions of leadership, they feel like that whatever your concerns are really don't matter. What concerns me is what matters to me. And I've seen this all through my life. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't respect people who show good leadership or anything like that, but a lot of people who we call leaders are really not leaders. They're a bunch of narcissists who have gotten into a position of power. And they believe because they have that position of power that they can do anything that they want to do without the mitigating consequences, without the responding consequences, excuse me. This is why I tend to not respect people in authority. Now, some people might hear this and say, oh, wait a minute, Vincent. No, you got to respect people in authority. Yeah, I understand that. But you have to understand where I'm coming from. This is why I don't respect a lot of people in positions of leadership, because they don't give a flying flip. Folks, I'm doing all I can not to make a slip of the tongue, because I am that angry. And I'm not a person who cusses or uses foul language or anything like that. And I thank God that he has a hold on my tongue, because I'm telling you, what I have seen in the past couple of weeks is a travesty. It is an abuse of leadership, what we are seeing in the world today. And sad to say, a lot of us who should know better, you know, the little sheep among us, we don't use our critical thinking skills to gain an understanding of what is going on at present. That's how I feel about what's going on. But you have people who harbor such hatred for one person that they're not willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. And because this person is off of the scene, and another one who is way more incompetent than this person is on the scene. They're willing to defend this person for whatever act that they do. The two people I'm talking about is Donald Trump and Joe Biden. People are just so glad that Donald Trump is no longer in office that they're willing to defend Joe Biden for anything that he does. Even though Stevie Wonder can see that this man is so incompetent that he is not presidential material. We knew this before he got quote unquote elected. You know why I say quote unquote. We knew this before he got elected. But people chose to ignore it because we had to get rid of the Cheeto man. We had to get rid of the orange man. Because he's such a racist. He's such a narcissist. He hates women. We got to get rid of him. And they hated this man so much that they were willing to accept just any old thing in his place. But there was no evidence of the hatred, of the object of their hatred that they had brought against Donald Trump. There's no evidence of it.
Well, he said Mexicans are rapists and murderers. No, he didn't. Well, he said that white supremacists are fine people. No, he didn't.
And people keep pushing these talking points without knowing the whole story. They hear bits and parts of a story, and because they have been conditioned through the power of our media to hate Donald Trump, that they'll just believe any little lie you say about Donald Trump. But an accusation against Joe Biden, they'll defend him and his cohorts, Kamala and Nancy and all the rest of them, General Milley, all the rest of them. They want to stick to, they always want to push that point about January the 6th. January the 6th. Oh, that was so horrible. What happened on January the 6th? Oh my goodness, you have got to be kidding. That was a sacrilege. Those white supremacists descending upon the Capitol building and doing what they did. What did they do? Well, they rioted. They killed a police officer. They didn't kill a police officer. They beat that police officer with a fire extinguisher. No, they didn't. Only one person died that day, and that was a woman named Ashley Babbitt. And she was shot and killed by one of the police officers at the Capitol. Now, some of you all out there would be like, she deserved it. Mm-hmm. That man was doing his job. But check this out, though. The police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt is black. Ashley Babbitt is white. And I have to add this. Ashley Babbitt was a Trump supporter.
Now, think of the outrage if the roles had been reversed. And those of you all who might be listening now, or you might be listening in the archives, don't give me the garbage. Don't give me the garbage. You know good and well, if the roles had been reversed, if that police officer had been white and Ashley Babbitt had been black, you all would be burning down cities right now. You know you would. Because keep in mind, Ashley Babbitt was unarmed. And we always hear about these stories about police officers killing unarmed black people. But here's a case of a police officer killing an unarmed white person. But we just want to excuse his behavior. He's not going to be charged. But had he been white and Ashley Babbitt had been black, he'll be getting doxxed, threats made against his life. People on Twitter would be, you know, yeah, this guy, you know, he killed a white, he killed a black person, yeah. Because you all think that Donald Trump told those people to go out there and riot, and he did not. You all want to believe. See, you all want to believe that because you hate Donald Trump. Not because you got the evidence, but it's because you want to believe that. That's what you want to believe. Your belief system is selective. I call it hater syndrome. Hate this person so much that you'll believe anything negative about the person. But if the person does something positive or someone mentions something positive about them, you don't want to believe it because you hate this person so much. That is what it is. And see, there's another name for it. It's called Trump derangement syndrome. And some of you all call yourselves Christians. Many of you all be in church tomorrow, skipping around, talking about hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. 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 You be up there doing that. But you hate Donald Trump. But let me back it up a little bit. We all know that what is going on this week is a major travesty. We've had two bombings at the Kabul airport in Afghanistan. The American withdrawal over in Afghanistan is just a total disaster. But what do a lot of us do? We blame Donald Trump. Oh, Donald Trump already had a deal with the Taliban. But see, here's the thing about Donald Trump. Donald Trump has sense. See, whoever that is that we have in the White House right now, that zombie of a president we have, people, I'm not going to be nice. That zombie of a president that we have in the White House right now, that guy named Joe Biden, Donald Trump understood if you're going to withdraw Americans from Afghanistan, keep the military there to make sure everyone gets out safely, and then withdraw the military, and in the process, make sure they acquire all their weapons and equipment, or if they can't acquire it, to destroy it. But see, when Joe Biden got into office, he was just chomping at the bit to get rid of everything that Donald Trump had in place. He wanted to get the credit for bringing our troops home. And he didn't care how he did it. He just wanted to say, hey, I brought the troops home. But see, there's this thing called an exit strategy. If you're going to pull the troops out, you need to wait till all the civilians have been exited out of that situation. Then you pull your troops out. But see, now we have a disaster over there. People are getting killed, people getting beaten. The Taliban is basically having a party over there. And now ISIS is coming in too. And, you know, dare I say, Al-Qaeda might join in the ranks too. And neither one of them groups are favorable to one another. They all oppose each other. And we have pictures of people hanging off of planes, falling off of planes. But yet and still, Joe Biden is doing a good job. Because how do you know he's doing a good job? Oh, because he says he is. No exit strategy. And folks, and see, this is the thing that gets me about this, though. Everybody wants to blame Donald Trump for what's going on. No. Look, you all do know that not one American has been killed in Afghanistan in a year and a half. You know that, right? Now, you all, and see, this is what you liberals do all the time. This is what you all do. You all want to absolve yourself of all the blame and put it on your predecessors or whatever. Obama did it when he got into office. Everybody's like, oh, give Obama a chance. You know, he's got to clean up the mess that Bush made. No. Obama, that was under your administration. Now, we got an incompetent in the White House, and people, his mistakes, people want to dump off on Donald Trump, say, well, it was Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the reason why, you know, this is happening. It's Donald Trump's fault. And now they're trying to, you know, they want to bring Donald Trump up on charges for inciting the riot on January 16th, on January 6th, excuse me. There's some way we got to get Donald Trump. We got to get him. There's something we got to throw at Donald Trump that's got to stick. Nothing has stuck except for that fake election. Yeah, I said it. Something's got to stick. And I'm ticked off. One lady was up there, she said, you call yourself a president? Look at what's going on here. And you know what? G.I. Joe and his cohorts, they just turning their heads up in indifference. I don't see nothing here. Hey, look at that little birdie over there. Yeah. Just totally ignoring the situation going on in Afghanistan, and instead of saying, whoa, wait a minute, I made a mistake here. He doesn't want to own up to his mistake. He's letting his cohorts defend him because he can't defend himself. And did you all see that speech the other night? What was it, Thursday? Joe Biden getting up so glassy-eyed, looked like he's just staring off into space. Yeah, this is. He's probably thinking about chocolate chip ice cream. That's probably what he was thinking about. But it is clear to see that this man is not presidential material, but people choose to ignore it. They just choose to ignore it. Just, no, I don't see nothing here. Joe Biden's doing a good job. No, he is not. No, he is not. People, open your freaking eyes. This man is doing a piss poor job. And you all sitting there just looking the other way, you know he's doing a bad job. But you just let him pass because at least he's not Donald Trump. Like I said with Joe Biden's predecessor, I'm not talking about Donald Trump, but Barack Obama. Joe Biden could probably go into a bank, hold it up, kill a couple of people, and people will probably still let him get away with it. And you know why I say that? Because what he is doing now is worse than even robbing a bank. He and his lackeys get up there. Oh, them people ain't stranded. You know, Jen Psaki. Oh, those people ain't stranded. What do you call being left behind and not being able to exit the country? What do you call that? Oh, everybody who wants to get out? Well, oh, they'll be able to get out. Just lying through your teeth. Because you know that the mainstream media and your supporters got your back. You can say anything you want to. It could be an outright lie. I mean, just right there in your face lie. You do this because you know you can get away with it. And then you want to put all the blame on Donald Trump, which let me let you all know something right now. You all do know Donald Trump hasn't been president for seven months, right? Y'all do know that, right? Donald Trump is real tired right now because he's been running through a lot of you all's heads for 7 months. He was your big newsmaker for the past 4 years. He was your newsmaker. But now he's out. But you all still want to blame him for what's going on in Afghanistan right now. I mean, let that sink in. Let that sink in. And those of you all who voted for Joe Biden, I got a message for you. How you like him now? And some of you all who voted for him, well, I'll say this. I'll go so far to say that most of you all who voted for him, y'all don't give a rip pair of jeans what Joe Biden is doing because we ain't got Donald Trump anymore. Y'all don't care. Y'all don't care about that situation. Oh, let's just blame Donald Trump. Instead of calling Joe Biden out for his ineptitude, you just want to blame Donald Trump. No. Joe Biden, you own this. Your supporters own this. And I don't care if you get mad or whatever. I don't give a rip pair of jeans if you get mad. This is who you voted for. That's who you voted for. Yeah, I'm ticked off. I'm real ticked off. Majorly ticked off right now. Because you got people, you got kids being separated from their parents. And, oh no, it's Donald Trump's fault. Everything is Donald Trump's fault. Donald Trump ain't even in office. It's Donald Trump's fault. Y'all did the same thing with George Bush. Now, I'm not saying George Bush was the most competent president ever, but you all used George Bush's mistakes to help Barack Obama get by. Oh, give Obama some time. You got to give him some time. Y'all said that for 8 years. But y'all never called him out on his mistakes, on Fast and Furious, on Obamacare, on Benghazi, on the hard drives, the emails. Y'all never called him out on it. And y'all don't sit there and tell me he didn't know anything about that. Because if he didn't know anything about those situations I just mentioned, then Barack Obama was the stupidest president we ever had. He knew what was going on. And you can't tell me that he didn't. Don't give me this garbage. But once again, a whole bunch of us, we got our heads up our tails and saying, oh, ain't nothing to see here. I don't care if I supported you or voted for you or whatever. If you do something wrong, I'm calling you out on it. Because, see, let me tell you all something. I don't have a political axe to grind. Matter of fact, I took on the privilege of voting very reluctantly. I took it on very reluctantly because the politics, you know, to me, politics and poison, there's a reason why both of them begin with the same letter of the alphabet. I don't have a political axe to grind. What I'm about the truth. I don't care who you are, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, I don't care who you are. But if you screw up, I'm calling you out on it. I'm not going to look the other way. See, that's what liberals do. Liberals like to look the other way when the person, when the people that they support, they, you know, they screw up, and you know, liberals go, oh, I don't see anything. And you know, it's kind of funny. They say 20% of the people in this country are listed as having some type of mental disorder. Guess what the percentage is of people who identify as liberal? 20% of the country. I don't know if that's a coincidence or whatever. But I'm ticked off. I'm ticked off because you got a bunch. Like I said, you got the elites up there. Who don't give a bee's wing about what's going on in our country. Because all they care about is their influence, their power. That's all they care about. That's all they care about. And if the right person is in office, let him do whatever he's doing. He's our boy. But I'm calling you out. Because I'm about the truth. I'm not about politics. Bump your politics. Bump it. But this is what we have going on in our country today, folks. This is what we have going on. And you got people who don't give a rip instead of doing what's best for the American people, we, oh, you know, just leave them there. Leave them. Just leave them. Because we got a narcissist in the White House. And then he's got that cackling hyena, Kamala Harris. Boy, I tell you, she sounds like a supervillain with that laugh. And people, this is what, and I said this on a show last night. I said this on a show last night. This is what I think is, this is what I think is going on. This is strictly opinion. You call me out on it, you can say, nah, Vince, that's not what's going on. Hey, that's fine. This is strictly opinion. I believe a lot of people voted for Joe Biden because Kamala Harris came along with the package. And I believe that they accepted Joe Biden's nomination as a Democratic candidate. But I don't think people really had a lot of confidence in old Joe. Because, like I said, you can't get me to believe that people can look at Joe Biden right now and not say that this man is incompetent. But they say, oh, well, okay, we'll just go with what we got here. Okay, we got him. Okay, yeah, let's cheat in the election. Okay, yeah, Joe, yeah, he won the election. Yeah, whoopee, yay. But I think there's an ultimatum there. And you all can call me out. I'm not saying you got to believe me or whatever, but like I said, this is my opinion. Joe Biden knew what he was doing when he selected Kamala Harris to be his running mate. I don't believe Kamala or Joe Biden like each other. I really don't. Of course, you know, you saw that debate last year where Kamala basically called Joe Biden a racist. But now, look at her. She's all smiles. She's vice president now. Look at her. Just cackling away. Like she's the Joker's granddaughter or something. But anyway, a lot of people voted for Joe Biden because they got Kamala Harris as part of the package. Now, I don't think anyone is very confident that Joe Biden is going to last these next 3.5 years. I don't think they're confident that he's going to last that long. And not only that, remember last year when Nancy Pelosi started pushing this 25th Amendment? The 25th Amendment, you know, I can't say it verbatim, but the 25th Amendment is to be enacted if a president is seen to be incompetent and not able to carry on his job. They have a duty to remove him and replace him. Nancy Pelosi was pushing that. Now, a lot of people said she was doing it for Trump, which I don't think she would have gotten away with it if Trump was still in office. But she may have understood that, you know, hey, we got people in place here. Joe's going to be the president. Boom, boom, boom. And if we think Joe is not doing his job, we think he's incompetent, we'll have him removed. And if Joe Biden is removed, guess who's going to be our president? Miss Cameltoe. I mean Kamala. Excuse me. Kamala Harris. And guess what? Let me tell you all something. Oh, it doesn't end there. If Kamala becomes president, guess who our vice president will be? Good old Nancy Pelosi. And once again, it doesn't stop there either. If this scenario happens, I dare to say Kamala had better watch her back. Because Nancy Pelosi, if she gets into the vice presidency, I believe she's going to be like, I'm just one step away from being president. She'll probably cook up something to get rid of Kamala. Maybe a mysterious assassination. I don't know, maybe put a little puffer poison in her iced tea. I don't know. But folks, like I said, that is my opinion. I'm not saying this is the actual scenario. So don't nobody go out there and say, oh, you saying Nancy Pelosi is going to kick Kamala Harris out and she wants to be president? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that's how it's going to happen. And I just conjured up this thesis, this theory, this hypothesis based on what I see going on in our government right now. Now, if Kamala gets into office, we're going to have someone there who is worse than Joe Biden, because I really do believe that Kamala is one of the people who is puppeting, who's using Joe Biden as a puppet. And I believe Barack Obama is using Kamala as a puppet. So in a way, you probably say that this is the third term of Barack Obama. But like I said, if this scenario does play out, I would advise Ms. Harris to watch her back. Once again, opinion. That's how I see it playing. You can disagree with me, that's fine. I hope I'm wrong. Really do. I really hope I'm wrong. Do I think I'm right? No, I don't think I'm right. I'm just saying this is what could possibly happen. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm 10,000% wrong. Because no one can sit here and tell me that Joe Biden is a competent president based on what's going on just this week. And, of course, everybody wants to blame Trump. They want to blame Trump. No, it ain't Trump. It's your boy. It's your boy, Joe Bite Me. I'm just saying, folks. But this is a travesty that's going on. You got people who talk about, oh, this is a great country, this is a great country, and you're leaving Americans stranded behind enemy lines with an enemy that does not like America, and you're just turning your back on them. And then you come up and you just, yeah, we're gonna get them out, yeah. And you're really not thinking about them. All you're thinking about is your own self-interest. That's all you're thinking about. And you got people like, oh, well, Joe Biden's getting them out of Afghanistan. No. Like I said before, common sense will dictate to you that when you leave a country as hostile as Afghanistan, you need to have an exit strategy. First of all, we shouldn't have been there 20 years. I'm just going to say that. We should have been there 20 years. We should have been out of there 19 years ago. And this, you all might say, oh, I thought you were Christian. You can say whatever you want. But they should have bombed that place flat. They should have turned it into a parking lot. Alua Akbar. Boom. Bring on the 72 virgins. You know, when they die, they think they're going to have 72 virgins waiting for them when they get to heaven. And I say, you know, if they want to speak the language of the bullet and the bomb, I say, you know, let's learn to speak their language. You want to see those 72 virgins? Okay, we're gonna help you along. And then when you get up there to heaven and you see those 72 virgins, I hope you find out why they're still virgins. Be like, oh my goodness, I didn't think this was what I was going to get. When you get up there and you meet your 72 virgins, I hope you see why they're still virgins. But folks, this is a travesty. It is a travesty. And we are being run by a bunch of idiots who don't care about this country one iota. Hey, Mr. Garding. I'm doing an impassioned little broadcast tonight. I'm telling you. Now, I mean, folks, I didn't think I would get to it, but I wanted to get to a video too that I saw on YouTube. I don't know if you all are familiar with Anthony Brian Logan. My wife and I have gotten into watching his videos for the past couple of years. I love his delivery. I love that he doesn't use bad language and everything. He just gets to the point, tells you, you know. And he did a video this week about COVID. I will probably play the soundbite to that video after the break. But that's another thing that is ticking me off this week is this COVID thing. Because people have gotten pure stupid over COVID-19. Real stupid once again. And just to let you all know, I won't be able to claim the religious exemption, so I have to get the virus, the vaccine. My wife's a little concerned about it. I'm not that concerned about it. The only thing about it is I made my decision, but somebody else feels that my decision wasn't good enough, so I have to get the vaccine. And what's driving? Well, you know what? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I'm getting a little ahead of myself right now. I'm going to play the video first, and like I said, I'm going to do it after the break. I'm going to play the video first, and then I'm going to give you my 2 cents worth of rhetoric. But folks, if you know the power of prayer, if you all know the power of prayer, we really need to pray for this country of ours, because this is not the country that I grew up in. I think the direction this country is going in, we need to change the name to the Totalitarian States of America, where the rights of the individual are superseded by the rights of the collective, where a woman can say, my body, my choice, when it comes to killing a baby, but you can't say the same thing when you want to bypass getting the vaccine. Where the elite really don't care about their citizenry.
I believe it's basically that the whole fight for 15 movement.
I don't know how that came up. I'll be honest with you all. I don't know how that came up. I'm trying to cue the video so that after the break, I can put it on. I'm trying to find the video that I saw this week because hey, there's Retta, my sister. Retta, y'all doing okay? Y'all doing better now? Because last time I did my show, she said she and her husband had COVID, and I'm hoping that they're doing better. There's some, you know, we got some crazy mess going on here. Let me do this.
I just want to know.
Okay, I'm gonna cue that video for after the break. But just want to see if my sister's doing better. I hope she is. Hey there, Bring It Boy E. Is it Bring It Boy E or Bring It Boy E? I'm a little mad today, you all. I'm real animated right now. I'm real animated because we have a bunch of elites that don't seem to care about the citizens of their country. All they do is care about shoving down their rhetoric down the throats of the citizens, and they really don't care about our well-being. What they care about is what they think is the right thing to do, because they feel like I said before, they think they're a bunch of gods up there. They think they're gods, and they think we are supposed to be bowing down and worshiping them, and I won't. And then you got people, their supporters, the people who voted for them, who are so stupid. They are so stupid right now that they actually support socialism. And then they tell the rest of us, you really don't know what socialism is. You think you know what socialism is, but you really don't. Socialism is good for this country. No, it is not. Look at every country that has been tried in. It's an abject failure. It has never worked. Centralized government does not work. And that's all that socialism is. Centralized government, where the government does what they think is best for you based on them. They tell you what to do. They tell you what your career is going to be. They tell you how to live. They tell you how much you can get on your job. And it has devastated countries. The Soviet Union is messing up China right now. Look at Cuba. Look at Ethiopia. And you got stupid people in this country. You were brought up in this country. You benefited from the freedoms in this country. But you want to bring up examples of like Norway and Sweden and say, oh, they tried communism. Look at how they're doing. They're not communist countries. Matter of fact, I forgot who it was. I think it was the president of Denmark. He came up one day. He said, I don't know why people keep saying we're a communist country. We're a market-based economy. Now, some of these countries might tax the mess out of you, but it doesn't mean they're socialists. And they want to bring these countries up and say, oh, these are communist countries. Look at how good Sweden. No. Don't show me Sweden, because that's not really a communist country. Show me Cuba. Show me Colombia. Show me Ethiopia. Show me the Soviet Union. Show me China. Oh, we need communism. You know, all these people, all these rich people, they got everything. Well, it's probably because they worked for it. No, they didn't work for it. They didn't work for it. How do you know? How do you know they didn't work for it? Because they got rich relatives, and the relatives just pass the wealth down to their kids. Yeah, but there are examples of kids when they get that wealth passed down to them, they splurge. They take the money and splurge it on whatever. Oh, yeah, I got this money. Yeah, let me buy this. Let me buy a Wave Runner. Let me buy a 100-foot yacht. Let me buy this. Let me buy that. Next thing you know, they're bankrupt. Most of the people in this country who are rich, they earned it. They earned it. So don't give me this garbage. And it's strange, too. It boggles my mind, too. A lot of these people, they over there talking about, oh, yeah, what the rich, they're keeping us down. But these people will buy lottery tickets. They buy lottery tickets. You know why they buy lottery tickets? Now, they'll give you this excuse that, oh, I buy a lottery ticket because I want to help fund our schools. Nah, don't even give me that. Stop lying. Because if you want to help fund the schools, you can always go directly into your pocket and say, hey, here's some money for you. Nah, don't even give me that. Don't give me that. You're doing it because you greedy. You want that money. You want some grease in your palm. I even asked one person, I said, now suppose you win the lottery. Okay, now. You know, they automatically take out how whatever percentage it is. I think it's like 60%. Let's say you win $10 million and you get to keep $6 million. That's $4 million the government got, and they didn't even earn it. Well, the government needs that. No, they don't. Look at how them people live. Making $100,000 a year and they millionaires, got $4 million mansions, paid for. And see, that's who socialist governments love. Well, who was that said, call them useful idiots? I think it was Stalin. Useful idiots. That's what they think of you all. Y'all useful idiots. And y'all think these guys are to be praised and worshipped and everything? No. Oh, great senator. Oh, yes, you. I know you have taken a loaf of bread, but sprinkle me with your crumbs. And you all over there giving these people credit for them taking someone else's loaf of bread, crumbling it up, and just tossing some crumbs at you. Oh, look at the crumbs. Get the crumbs. Communism, socialism, fascism, it destroys innovation. It destroys motivation. Because no matter what accomplishments you acquire, the government's just going to come in and take it away from you anyway. You could come up with an innovative idea. Government's like, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, okay, we got it. And look at how, and see, this is another thing, too. Look at how these people live, the communists, the government elites in these countries, like Russia and whatever. Them rascals live like kings. Look at Kim Jong-un. He can be a model for Weight Watchers or something. But look at the rest of his country, starving. And people don't look up and say, hey, wait a minute, why is he so fat and we're so skinny? You know why? Because the upper elites in these socialist countries, they live like hogs. But they won't let you attain to the levels that they have reached. All right, people. It's the top of the hour. I think I've gone over a little bit. But let me do my advertisements real quick. And when I'm done, I will see you on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
So I'm a cat. and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show. If you would like to call in number 646-478-5284. And like I said in the first hour, I got a clip I want to show you all. I didn't think I would be able to get to this clip today, but we're going to do it. So like I said, this is a dude named Anthony Brian Logan. He has a channel called ABL on YouTube. He does excellent work. And I just want you all, this video is going to be kind of lengthy. I hope you all bear with me, whatever. But I just wanted you all to listen to this video.
How did this go so far, so fast? How's everybody doing? My name is Anthony Brian Logan, and today we got to talk about the absolute state of Australia. I've been seeing these videos you guys have sent me over the past few days, weeks, months about how ridiculous Australia has been with all the virus mandates and rules and regulations. It really didn't hit me until this particular video, and the way that it was presented was like it was normal, because it's their local news out there, and I'll play that in a moment, but the news made it seem like, oh, it's fine. It's not really a big deal. This is not obscene or absurd. It's just normal. You know, these people don't want to do right, and they have to be held accountable. It was really crazy, and this cannot happen in the U.S. It shouldn't be happening anywhere, period. It doesn't matter if it's U.S., U.K., Australia. It doesn't matter. This should not be happening anywhere. But here we are. Now, there are a few reasons for it I'll get into in a moment. But first, let's watch this clip. In the clip, you're going to see some of the ridiculous ways Australia is trying to combat this virus, some of these lockdowns and restrictions and just a total abandonment of personal freedom. After we get done watching that, I'll talk about what was said there, and I'll give you my 2 cents, my detail analysis, and then I'll wrap it on up with a nice bow on top. So without further ado, let's go ahead and roll it.
It's those doing the wrong thing driving our record case numbers. Among the most concerning cases, a COVID patient who's tonight on the run from a hotspot. Police and health authorities have issued an urgent appeal. Anthony Karam knows he is COVID positive when he steps into this public lift, already breaking so many rules He doesn't bother to cover his mouth as he sneezes and splutters. The 27-year-old is still infectious but has gone missing from his Wentworth Point apartment. A warrant now issued for his arrest.
This 27-year-old chap who apparently has expressed the view that he doesn't care less whether he spreads the virus is one example of the worst of the worst.
There's little sympathy for anyone ignoring the health orders. Even this group of teenagers caught partying after dark at the bottom of the North Bondi Cliffs. Herded to higher ground by Polev's spotlight and speaker, the eight boys were placed in handcuffs and left to explain a $1,000 fine to mum.
681 penalty infringement notices issued in the last 24 hours. More than 400 of those notices were again for people being outside of their home without a reasonable excuse.
Sideline Sharks player Josh Dugan denied lying to police when he was found a long way from Sydney. The 31-year-old stopped at 11:30 last night in Lithgow, where he allegedly told officers he was moving to the area and feeding animals before admitting to visiting a friend. He and the passenger turned back to Sydney, only to be pulled over a second time travelling in the wrong direction. The NRL is investigating and criminal charges could be laid. It's getting harder and harder to hide if you're doing the wrong thing, especially in the construction industry, a crackdown following on from the recent shutdown. Workers sent home if their paperwork isn't in check.
It is a struggle, but it's it's just what has to be done. Like, nobody likes telling people to go home. They've all got families to feed.
Our camera's rolling on another random blitz in Marsden Park.
Authorising me under the Public Health Act.
Inspectors have asked these tradesmen to show proof of their QR check-in as well as identification and vaccination records. One of the men here is from Campsie and he doesn't have his documentation, so he's being sent home.
Wow.
He may lose a chunk of his pay too if officers follow through with a fine. Tiffany Genders, 9 News.
All right, so you saw that, you heard that. Now, what in the world is going on here, Australia? I mean, do you have freedom at all? What are you really? Are you Australia or are you North Korea? Some are going to try to compare Australia to Germany during World War II. Under the guy with the funny mustache. You know what I'm talking about. I probably can't say his name because we're on YouTube. They want to flag me for saying a historical figure's name, but different story. I digress. The whole point is that some are going to try to compare Australia to World War II Germany time. And that's a fair comparison because of, you know, the papers, please, type mentality. That's a fair comparison. But I take it one step further and say you're at the point of North Korea, Castro, Cuba, where you can't even escape. I mean, the one guy had his picture, his name and everything, mugshot on the news, talking about where is he at, we can't find him. You can't find him. What did he do? He was in an elevator by himself and was sneezing. This is why I think some people see this coming. This is why some people, when they sneeze, they kind of want to sneeze in the closet so nobody sees them, you know, or say, oh, I got allergies. It's not the virus, because they're so afraid of what people are going to think about them. They're so afraid of any kind of retaliation coming against them for sneezing. The man was in the elevator sneezing, and the officer's talking about, well, he didn't care about anybody. He didn't have on the mask. Sir, there was nobody around him. He was by himself. What's the problem? And you're trying to find this guy? Why does it matter where he's at? He was in the elevator sneezing. So, okay, so we at the point now, if you live in Australia and you sneeze with no mask on, that means you need to turn yourself into the authorities and you might go to the penitentiary, people out Little Rocks. If it's going to be a fine or something small like that, why try to track him down? Is that, like, if it's the equivalent of a speeding ticket, just mail the ticket to their house. You know who the guy is. You know where he lives. Mail him the ticket, and he'll pay it, and that's it. Why do you need to find him? What's the whole purpose? And then they were tracking one guy talking about, oh, he's too far away from his home in Sydney, and he's in this particular place, and he shouldn't have been there, and then he went somewhere else. He shouldn't have been there. So, you know, the obvious question here is, can you even escape Australia? Can you even escape Canada legally? Because I heard that if you want to travel internationally, meaning leaving the country, you have to have your card, your vaccine card. Is that true? If it is or if it's not, let me know in the comments. Now, if that's true in Canada, is it also true in Australia? Why can't I leave? I don't want to be here anymore. I don't like living here. Or you know what? I just want to move, right? I'm a human being. If right now, today, I say, you know what? I want to move. I have the freedom to do so. Now, whether another country would take me, that's up to them. I can't impose upon another country to accept me. But if I want to move somewhere within my country, then I should be able to do that. Okay, I've not been arrested. I've not been locked up. I'm not on probation or parole or something like that where I can't leave my state. That's different. You know, I'm not under conditional release. I'm a free person. I don't do drugs. I don't do crime. I don't harass anybody. I'm on the elevator sneezing. Or I'm in my car driving. That's somehow an offense. Now, some may take this as an anti-police video. It's not even about anti-police because police are people. And a lot of people in Australia, in the U.S., U.K., Canada, all over the world, a lot of people, but not all, support this kind of stuff. They support the contact tracing, mandatory masking. I saw Melissa Joan Hart. Remember her? Clarissa Explains It All. I believe that was her. If I'm wrong, let me know. But she has caught the virus with a so-called breakthrough case. And can we stop calling it that? Can we stop that? Because the CDC says the vaccine cannot stop the spread. It can't. So you can catch it and spread it with the shot. What did they say? It only can help you with reduced symptoms. That's it. And I'm not sure how real that is because I just saw Jesse Jackson and his wife got hospitalized with the virus and they've both been vaccinated. So I'm not really sure how true that is, but I digress. To get back to it, Melissa Joan Hart said that she caught the virus and she believes that it came from her kids who went to school with no mask on. And she was mad that there was no mandate. You see where I'm going? So how many people exist like that, that want the mandates, that want the lockdowns, that want the shutdowns? Because it might just save one person, right? It might save grandma. Australia has 4 virus deaths per day, just 4 per day, in a country of 25 million. I think it's either 4 cases of death, but it's not, regardless of what, it's not that many. I'll place a graph on the screen before you. Not a whole lot of people. Okay, you're talking about in a single digit thousands that may die in a year in that rate. It's not a whole lot. You know, what, about like 2,000 or something like that? Is that a whole lot of people? How many die from the flu? How many die from heart attacks and kidney disease and cancer and alcoholism and cigarette smoking? I mean, this whole thing has gotten ridiculous, but you know what the culprit is? It's the fear. It's the fear. Because if you see every day that if you get this thing, you're going to die, your grandma's going to die. Let's forget about the recovery rate, 98, 99, or whatever for most people. If you are above 65, 94, let's forget about all that. Let's forget about how these masks don't work that well. Like Fauci said in the very beginning, it might block a droplet or two, but it won't give you this perfect protection you think that it does. Let's forget about all that and just say, if you catch this thing, you're going to die. And you repeat that over and over and over and over and over again, people might believe it. And here we are, where the authorities are being persuaded to do one thing. They may even believe the hysteria. Regular normies, they believe the same thing. And you have a police state where you can't do much. New Zealand, no better. They had one case, shut the whole country down. What are you doing to your citizenry when you put them under this police state? How are they going to be mentally? You worried about the virus deaths. How about suicides and alcoholism and things of that nature from being locked down without having committed a crime? Let's talk about that for a moment rather than just doing these ridiculous knee-jerk things to try and contain this thing that probably can't really be contained. But I think I'll leave that right there for now. And what say you? How do you feel about the ridiculous measures? Well, I don't want to say ridiculous because I don't want to frame it for you. But how do you feel about the measures in Australia? Are they a good thing? Are they a bad thing? Whatever your thoughts on that are, let me know in the comments below. You guys know how I feel. I think these measures are totally ridiculous. There's no freedom here. And all for what? All for what? Are these measures even effective? I guess if you go the route of China and weld people in their houses, maybe they can't spread it because they are in a penitentiary. They're in their own home and they can't even leave. I guess that makes sense, but at a certain point, you got to leave. I mean, you can't just stay home forever. You got to be able to go out and eat and learn and you have to live. If I didn't commit a crime, then don't lock me up. And some of these crimes or things that could be seen as crimes should not be crimes. It shouldn't be a crime for me to sneeze. It shouldn't be a crime for me to go on a drive in my own country. If I want to leave right here and just go to California for some reason, which I wouldn't, but if I wanted to do that in my car, then why should I not be able to do that? I'm not on probation or parole, never been arrested, never been locked up, never been accused of a crime. I'm not in any kind of legal situation at all, so why shouldn't I be able to leave? As I said, this is less Germany, World War II, and more North Korea right now, where you might get the ultimate penalty for trying to leave. But whatever your thoughts are, please let me know in the comments below. And that's all I got to say for this video. If you like what you heard, please comment, rate, share, and subscribe. Peace. I just want to know.
Well, you all heard it from ABL. I left a link for you for the video if you want to check the video out for yourself and whatever. But let me tell you all something. You know, he made a very good point in this video. And he said, what is driving this thing? And I'm not saying it verbatim, but he said that what is really driving this thing is fear. Oh, I'm going to get COVID. Oh, I'm hearing how many people are dying of COVID. Oh, 300,000 or 600,000 people have died in the U.S., 3 million people around the world. Oh, I'm going to die. Oh, stay away from me. Put your mask on. Oh. Let me tell you all something. If you want to wear your mask, wear your doggone mask, okay? But don't get mad at me because I'm not wearing a mask. Because it's supposedly that mask is supposed to protect you, right? So why are you upset that somebody else is not wearing theirs? Or if you got the vaccine is supposed to protect you, right? Right? Come on now. Come on. It's supposed to protect you, right? So why are you getting upset if somebody else is not vaccinated? Now, let me give you all something. I don't know who it was, and I don't know why they're not saying this on the news. But this is a lady in Great Britain this week. She died of COVID. Now, let me tell you the details. She got vaccinated. She caught COVID and died of it, 44 years old. Of course, you're not going to hear that on the news. But what is driving this thing is fear. 94% survival rate if you're above 65 years old. 99% survival rate below that age. But with, COVID, get your vaccination, Really, y'all, you got your panties in a bind about this? And we have people who died of the flu. We even have people who died of the common cold. But nobody gets their panties in a bind because you know why? Because you've been conditioned by mainstream media and they're the lapdogs of the elites. They're just doing what their masters are telling them to do. Now, you want to wear your mask? That's fine. But don't infringe on my right not to wear one. That's the point here. And a lot of us, we got our little panties, like I said, we got our panties in a bind because of COVID. Let me tell you all, I caught COVID. And let me tell you all, I was not scared when I first heard about it. I was like, oh, COVID, I got to do. Now, of course, they came up with the laws and everything, said you got to wear a mask. I do that, okay? I'm not defiant like that or anything like that, but I wasn't scared of it. And when I caught it, I was like, oh, my goodness, I got COVID. I recovered. Did pretty good. I'm going to tell you, it was the worst sickness I ever had, be honest with you. But I recovered. And I have no ill effects of it now. And see, all the, and see, let me tell you all something. Let me tell you all about these masks. Y'all keep, oh, I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to wear, okay, you wear your mask. Now, if you can rip one, if you ate a pot of beans last night, and you rip one from your backside and you can smell that mess through your mask, guess what? COVID can get through the mask. I don't know why people, oh, wear your mask. And it ticks me off. I'm like, what are you all afraid of? If you catch it, you catch it. And now, because of that fear, they're telling people, you have to get vaccinated. I have to get vaccinated. And folks, let me tell you all something. Some of you screw jobs out there, y'all sit there and listen to me and say, oh, he's anti-vax. I am not anti-vax. If you got vaccinated, I'm not going to look at you and say, oh, you got vax? Oh, the horror. If you feel like you can get the vaccine, hey, go ahead and get it. But my problem is, if I make a decision that I think is right for me, that I think is best for me, I don't need the government elites to override my decision. That's the thing that bothers me the most in this. It's crazy. Mr. Garding said, wearing a mask to stop COVID is like using a chain link fence to stop a dust storm. And you all heard what Anthony Brian Logan said. He said the vaccine doesn't even protect you from COVID. All it does is lessen the symptoms. And if you all will, go into the chat room. I left a link to a PDF for the Cleveland Clinic study about the vaccination, about those who have already caught COVID getting a vaccination. They say that getting a vaccination, if you have already caught COVID, really does you no good. It's a waste of time, basically. That's basically what it says. But of course, people are going to ignore that. Well, I just want to be on the safe side. No, you want to be on the fear side. You're afraid. You're scared. Like I said, I wasn't scared of it. When I heard about it, I was like, okay, COVID is serious. Don't get me wrong. It's serious. When I heard about it, I was like, hey, this is a serious thing. And the CCP allowed this thing to get out. See, we over here pointing fingers at Donald Trump and everybody else and everything. We're not pointing our fingers at the real source of this disease, the CCP, Chinese Communist Party. And people over here getting mad, oh, why are you calling it a Chinese virus? Getting mad at Donald Trump because it comes from China. That's why they call it a Chinese virus. I mean, for real. Why you Donald Trump, he said, and not only this, look, check it out, folks. When they started the vaccines, you know, because Donald Trump was like, you know, let's get these vaccines, you know, light speed and everything. That's one of the things I don't agree with Donald Trump about, but that's neither here nor there. But when Donald Trump sped up the production of this vaccine, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, whole bunch of people out there, they were like, man, no, I ain't taking that. I ain't taking that vaccine, you know. I ain't taking that vaccine. I don't trust anything Trump does. But now Trump is out of office. We got Sleepy Joe in there. Oh, yeah, take that virus. You got to take that vaccine. Take that vaccine. Take that vaccine. But when Trump was in office, people were skeptical of the vaccine because Trump was attached to it. But now everyone's, oh, get the vaccine. Oh, the humanity, get the vaccine. Bunch of hypocrites. So it's going to be, so the vaccine's going to be more effective now that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are in office. I mean, for real. But a lot of us, like sheep, we don't read, we don't research, and we just accept what we hear, like Retta just said, these stupid commercials. We let the media do the thinking for us. They speak for us, and whatever they speak, we go by what they say. Instead of using common sense, instead of using critical thinking skills. Yeah, I know I sound like I'm animated. I'm mad. And now my wife is concerned about that vaccine, me getting the vaccine. She's very concerned. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried. I'm not worried one bit about, you know, what the vaccine is going to do or whatever. Like I said, the thing that ticks me off is that I made a decision that I thought was best for myself. Not because I'm an anti-vaxxer or anything like that. Because I'm not. But then someone, oh, no, you got to get the vaccine. I'm not worried about the side effects or anything. I'm not. But now my wife is worried about it. And see, one of the few things I like about my wife's job, her boss told them, look, I don't care if you get a vaccine or not. You want to get it? Get it. If you don't, don't. That's one of the few things I agree with, you know, the people up at her job. But, you know, I digress. That'll launch me into another program. If they say jumping off a cliff stops the spread of COVID, how high are the numbers? Yeah, exactly. But people, those of you all out there wearing masks and you think it's not going to protect you. I know this for a fact because I wore my mask. My wife wore hers. We still caught it. And like I said, if you want to wear a mask, that's fine. But don't cop an attitude if you come across somebody who doesn't have one. See, that's my problem. You know, these people want to cop an attitude with you all the time. Oh, you're standing too close. Get away from me. What are you copping an attitude for? You got your mask on? You think your mask protects you? Then what are you getting mad for? You got your vaccine? What are you getting mad for? Got a copper attitude with folks. See, it's this type of stuff that ticks me off. It burns me up. It burns me up. It really does. It ticks me off. But in order to keep my job, I got to get the vaccination. And the reason why I don't tell them to go jump in a lake or whatever, I need my job. I can't just, you know, okay, get fired. And, okay, where am I going to get another job? And then not only that, they might hear you got fired because you didn't get the vaccine. They might be like, I don't want to hire you either. You see how they put you in a corner like that? That's called erosion of your freedom. Well, you should have gotten it. And like I said last year, Kamala even said, you know, I don't want anything to do with anything connected to Trump. I ain't getting no vaccine. But now, oh, it's a different song now. It's a different song now. I mean, people, I'm telling you, folks are really ticking me off. I'm, you know, this Afghanistan thing and this COVID thing, it's really ticking me off because you got a bunch of people running this country who don't even care about the very citizens they're supposed to be governing. They don't care. And they're pushing us towards the totalitarian states of America. You know what? I might just find someone, design a flag. I might find someone to design a flag and say, this is the new flag of this country, the totalitarian states of America. Oh, you're an individual. We don't care about your individual rights. If your individual rights don't agree with the collective rights, then your individual rights don't matter. Y'all remember that movie, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan? I love that movie. I do love that movie. It's a good movie. I think it is. But Mr. Spock utters a phrase in that movie. He says, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. That's one of the few drawbacks of that movie that I have a problem with. So if you're an individual, we don't care about what your individual rights are. We care about the rights of the collective. See, that's what gets me in trouble with my fellow black people, because they think you're supposed to think like they do. Because what our needs are is more important than your needs. But yeah, you know, check out Star Trek II. That's what they say in that movie. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. So if you call yourself an individual, that's basically how communism, socialism thinks of you. You're no longer an individual. You're part of the collective now. And you better get along with the collective or we're going to weed you out. We're going to cut you out like a little cancer. Is that true? Kamala kisses with her mask on? Wow. And folks, let me tell you all, I do not like the mask. I don't. Can't stand it. Sometimes my job can get demanding, gets hot up under that mask. I have to take it off. I can't breathe. Yo, you better keep your mask on. Well, I can't breathe, okay? My need to breathe is more important than your fear of catching COVID. Just so you know that, you know. I can't breathe with that mask on. And Lord knows, as hot as it's been lately, you think I'm going to wear that thing outside? And I see people driving in their cars with their masks on. You're in your car. Or, you know, they might do you like they did that guy in Australia. They got a warrant out for him because he was sneezing in the elevator. They might get you for sneezing in your car, too, you know. I mean, well, that law isn't over here in the U.S., but you know what? We might be sliding towards it. And you all keep in mind, too, and I'm just saying this as an aside, keep in mind, too, that Australia is being heavily influenced by China. Australia is being heavily influenced by China. They said it's at the point now that if China was to pull out all their interests out of Australia, their economy would plummet. So there's that going on. That lets you know somebody is working in there behind the scenes. A 3-year-old has to wear a mask. Are you outside of your mind? And I know they got the Delta variant, they got the Lambda variant, they got another variant coming up. Look, I know about all that stuff. I am not worried about that. So every year we're going to have to get an inoculation against COVID, just like we do with the flu, which, you know, I never took the flu vaccine until I started working the job I'm at now. I don't like people telling me what you need to do. You better do. No, this is what I think is best for me. And then if something happens as a result of your mandate, you don't report it. You look the other way. Oh, well, okay, well, that's just one out of 10 million or something. No, man, look. 2 years old. Oh, that's even worse. 2 years old. Now, you know, folks, let me tell you, a typical 2-year-old is not going to walk around all day with a mask on. I'm just going to tell you. 3-year-old will hardly do it. 4-year-old, maybe. 5-year-old, yeah. This is some crazy mess, people. This is some crazy mess. But I played that. I played the soundbite from that video to, you know, let you all know what the deal is. This is in Australia, and Australia was one of the countries I really wanted to visit, but you know, I don't want to visit anymore. Just like at one time I wanted to visit California, but that dream has passed. Australia's government is becoming kind of totalitarian. And also, they won't allow people to own a gun in Australia. And see, they're trying to push the same. And see, in a way, folks, in a way, the Soviet Union, China, Cuba, Ethiopia, Colombia, all these countries having socialist governments, socialist-run governments, it's really a blessing. You know, I believe that scripture that says whatsoever someone made for your bad, that God will turn it into your good. I believe in that scripture because we see the evidence of the results of socialism taking over a country. Now, see, the reason why it hasn't taken over the U.S., because we've got a lot of people in the U.S., they're like, we see what's going on. See, it was easy for them to take over Russia and China and all them other places. But see, we have the example. We got a lot of people in this country like, That's why people are standing up now. That's why people are pointing this thing out. That's why the government is trying to shut down certain groups because they want them to be silenced because they want to initiate their values on us. But we're seeing the examples going on in China and Venezuela and all these other countries. And we're like, wait a minute. Nah, y'all not bringing this over here. That's why people stand so ardently against this critical race theory that they're trying to push into schools. Nah, y'all ain't bringing that in here. Because we see the example of the results of what happens when this ungodly form of government takes over a country. I'm not a high dollar gambler. I know. But you all understand what I'm trying to get at here. See folks, when I do this program, I don't do this just to spit in the and shoot off my lip and everything. I really want you all to get something out of what I am saying. And once again, don't just believe me because I say it. You know, check it out yourself. That's why I sent the PDF. That's why I sent the link to the video. I want you all to check it out yourself. But see, the government doesn't want you to be that smart. They don't want you to check things out. That's why they want your kids to be stupid. That's why they're against things like private schools and homeschooling. Because they want to indoctrinate your children. Because they feel, once again, they feel like they're the gods. Yeah, you bear the children, but we're the gods of your children. So let us teach your children. You're not a good parent. And I think that's the reason why they enable a lot of these families, a lot of these bad parents. I think that's why they enable them to be bad parents, because they're like, okay, you can be a bad parent, but that means I can step in your role and teach your children. And I can indoctrinate them with what I think is best for them. That's why I don't like public schools. Most of us are products of public schools. I grew up in public schools. And see, when you leave, you know, public schools and then you go to these indoctrination centers called colleges and universities, they're basically telling you, hey, you come here, you know, hey, you're smart, you know, whatever. You don't need to learn anything more. Hey, what you learn here, this is all you need to know. You don't need to study anything else. Just go ahead, be stupid, and we will continue to indoctrinate you. Don't listen to what these people outside of the university or our public school system says. We're the ones who know what's best for you. Not your parents, not your uncle, not your grandmama. We know what's best for you. And a lot of us, we're so caught up in our day-to-day, we don't understand what is actually going on around us. And next thing you know, it's going to be too late. And when it's too late, you can't sit there and say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't know this was happening. We're warning you now. Look at what's going on in Afghanistan. We warned them. Donald Trump warned them. Of course, you all wanted to ignore him because you don't like Donald Trump. And now this stuff is happening now, and now you want to blame Donald Trump for what's going on in Afghanistan. We see the evidence. We see what's going on. And just like one of my coworkers said, if this country turns socialist, you can't just say, oh, wait a minute. Oh, nah, this ain't what we want. Nah, we change our mind. Nah, buddy. Once that octopus gets the hold of that crab, that crab is done for. He gets that good grip on you. You ain't going to be at, oh, wait a minute. That anaconda wraps itself around you, unless you get some kind of outside help, it's curtains. But see, we have an opportunity. We can see how communism and socialism has messed up these countries. We see it. Basically, what we are to do is to warn the people. Basically, the U.S. is supposed to be the watchtower. We're supposed to, hey, wait a minute. Nah. Hey, look what's going on over there. Don't do that. We know what we see. What's going on? We see it. We live in the freest country in the world. We got libraries. We got Amazon. I got several books from Amazon talking about communism. And a lot of people, they have this mentality because their brains have been turned to mush by our mainstream media. They have this mentality, if they never heard of it, then it must not be true. Our society has got people believing that you know everything that you need to know. You can't read or anything like that. You don't know how to divide fractions or anything like that, but oh, you got all the knowledge that you need. You just let us pump you full of the knowledge. Just sit on your couch, turn on that TV, and let that millionaire journalist or reporter just tell you everything that we want you to hear. That's why I talk the way I do. That's why I think the way I do. Because I don't let these people just feed me any old bull crap. Someone used to tell me, readers are leaders. I like to read. I want to be informed. I want to know what's going on. I mean, for real. Folks, I tell you, like I said, if you know the power of prayer, we need to pray for this country. Need to pray for Joe Biden. Because this is some serious stuff going on now. I don't want to sound fatalistic or pessimistic, and I hope I'm wrong, but I really don't see us recovering from what's going on now. I really don't. Now, it could have been worse. We could have had Hillary in office. We could have already been going along right now. But really, I really don't see no recovery from this. And I don't mean to sound pessimistic or fatalistic or anything, but, you know, I guess I'm trying to be a realist. It's crazy mess going on in this country, people. It's real crazy. Retta. Yeah, we're basically too far gone. We just turn around, you know. We played around with our technology and, you know, and entertainment and everything, but, you know, the enemy slipped in the Trojan horse. There may be some hope. The only hope for this country right now is Jesus Christ. That's the only hope we have, really. And to me, that was really evident when Donald Trump was in office, because Donald Trump was basically surrounded by a bunch of people who didn't like him. Yes, including the vice president, John Pence. And you all see the people that he supported into the Supreme Court. They turned their backs on him. They're like, thank you, Trump. Oh. Kavanaugh and what's the other lady? I forgot her name. Amy Comey Barrett. They turned their backs on him. When an issue came up about whether this was a fair election or whatever, they were like, hey, the only people who voted to try this past election were Judges Alito and Clarence Thomas. But what does Clarence know? He ain't nothing but a coon. He ain't nothing but a Uncle Tom. Those are only two. The people that Donald Trump helped to get into the Supreme Court, they were like, oh, no, we don't see no evidence. No, there was no tampering in the elections. You all need to get a grip. You all need to get a grip. Suck it up. Yeah, but we listened to you all whine and moan and cry for 4 years after Donald Trump got elected, talking about Russian collusion and all that. But y'all didn't suck it up then. You all, I got a caller here. Oh my goodness, I just got real animated today. I just got real, real animated because, I tell you, I don't know what to say. Signal. That means I'm going to the phone. Y'all know what that means. Let me get this caller. I ain't got that much time, but yeah, okay. I need to do something with the sound on that thing though. Hello caller, welcome to the show. I know I only got a few minutes, but
man, I don't envy you a bit, man. I'd like you to know I commiserate you. You want to know why? Because I finally figured out a harder job you got than warding off fruit bats. And that is figuring out what to talk about from day to day because the environment is so damn target rich.
Man. Oh, gosh.
It's got to be tough, man. I sympathize with you totally.
Is this some type of dream or something? Are we gonna wake up from this, or are we gonna walk down the street and see Freddy Krueger chasing after us? I mean, this is not the country I grew up in.
If we were ever meant to be tested, these times are the ones that will see whether or not we are forged hard enough to continue the existence as a country founded on the principles of liberty and constitutional republicanism. This is the test. This is it. More so, I believe, than at any time in this nation's history. But it's a few things you said in the show that I'd like to kind of, comment on, because, man, you said a lot. And it's just a few things I'd like to piggyback on, man. And, Joe Biden, we're supposed to be electing Joe Biden because he got all this foreign policy experience. He's like the expert, And being an expert, he's supposed to be better than the orange man was, such a pro. But if you look at his history, 40 years in the United States Senate, or 50 years total in politics, this fool opposed Ronald Reagan in the defense buildup that economically destroyed the Soviet Union. He opposed the militarily successful aspect of the Gulf War. Remember, it's one of the most historically successful military campaigns in the history of the world, not just the United States. The Iraqi National Army was defeated in 100 hours. He supported bombing the Serbs and Serbian civilians in Bosnia in the Clinton administration, and he supported arming Bosnian Muslims, which led to a great deal of terrorism in the region. He opposed sending a response team to help to rescue American citizens in Benghazi, and he opposed killing Osama bin Laden. He ain't been right about nothing. Nothing. He's going to be this great big foreign policy pro, and every single one of his major policy prescriptions was wrong-headed or a disaster. The man is a fool. He's a fool in every aspect of his being, and he's a complete, utter fraud, as well as being illegitimately elected. It's beyond belief. But then you said something else, too, about the 25th Amendment. And I'd like to make clear something about the mechanism of the 25th Amendment, not necessarily the political considerations, because it's not quite as simple as a lot of people think it is, to institute.
Yeah.
What you have to do, remember, it wasn't ratified until 1967, so it didn't come as part of the founding or anywhere near to the founding generation. But what it says is that whenever the vice president and a majority of the cabinet officers, really, of the executive branch, and I think Congress has written a statute as the Constitution Amendment requires, to prescribe who those cabinet officers are. Whenever a majority of them and the vice president submit to the president pro tem of the Senate, and you know the president pro tem of the Senate, in the absence of the vice president, governs in the Senate. And that person is usually, under Senate rules, elected as the senior member of the party that's got the majority with the longest serving record as a senator. And so whenever those officers, the vice president and the officers in the cabinet, transmit to the pro tem in the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives that they believe the president cannot discharge the duties of his or her office, then immediately, once that is done, no matter what happens subsequent to that, Kamalto will become the president if this happens.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing that happens next. Now, if the president says, my cabinet officers and my vice president are mutinying, they're crazy. I'm fully capable of assuming the duties of my office. So if the president sends a challenge on that back to the president pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, his declaration that, no, there's no such infirmity, no such disability, I can't presume the offices of my office, then he takes his office back unless now the vice president and a majority of those officers I just talked about transmit within 4 days to the president pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of the Representatives their written declaration the president's not able to assume the duties of his office. And then Congress has to decide the issue once that is triggered. Congress does, and you got to have two-thirds of both houses. And remember, they got to assemble within 48 hours, and two-thirds of both houses have to vote that the president is, in fact, unable to continue their office, and then the vice president permanently assumes the remainder of the term of the president of the United States. But all those things have to happen in that sequence. So it's not just a matter of the vice president and the cabinet getting together, voting and saying, president can't resume duties. They didn't want to make it that easy to get rid of a president.
Yeah.
So all these things have to occur. Now, I really don't think Nancy Pelosi would give up the power of the Speaker of the House just to become a vice president unless she was sure she was going to be able to take over the office. And knowing how evil that witch is, it ain't gonna tell her what kind of machination she'd come up with in order to ensure just that. So it could happen, but, you know, I don't see anybody wanting to give up Speaker of the House to become vice president unless they know they got a sure shot to the presidency. And when you talked about Michael Byrd, in an interview he gave, this dude made an admission that was really pretty startling in his interview. Did you see that interview that he had with Lester Holt?
I didn't see that.
You know what he said? He said this line stands out, man. He said this, and I'm quoting: "I could not fully see her hands, or what was in the backpack, or what the intentions are." So he admitted he didn't see a weapon or an immediate threat from Babbitt beyond her trying to get through a window. And then he goes on to say, you talk about a drama queen. I know I saved countless lives by shooting an unarmed woman. Can you believe this?
And keep in mind, had the roles been reversed, had the police officer been white and Ashley Babbitt been black, we wouldn't hear the end of it.
I think the real thing protecting him is that he killed a deplorable. She was a Trump supporter. I think that is the most important single factor in this whole thing. That's why they're protecting him. I think that's one of the reasons they're protecting him. She was deplorable. Now, no other officers facing similar threats and are even under greater pressure, being hit by bottles and clubs from Domino's rioters, no other officer shot anybody in any other part of the Capitol.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then you go on. So the legal implications, by his own admission, this is why you tell the lawyers, tell their clients to shut your damn stupid mouth. He didn't halfway incriminate himself by what he said. That was incriminating.
Yeah. Oh,
it's just amazing that all this is just going down without any comment. Remember, my job was to teach deadly force. to police officers when I was working. I was a firearms instructor. The people in the state of Illinois paid a whole lot of money to send me to schools to learn how to teach it to other police officers. They spent thousands of dollars teaching me this. So I got a pretty good idea what you're supposed to be able to do and what not to do. And I don't know anything in the Capitol Hill Police that negates Supreme Court rulings, Graham versus Connor and Tennessee versus Graham versus Connor. I don't know of anything. I say this ain't the end of it, and I hope that family gets redressed at the very least in the form of adjudication. And, you know, this thing with, I'd like to say one more thing about what you said with regard to Afghanistan, and that's this. And you kind of heard me say it before, but I'd like to kind of repeat it again because I really think it's super, super significant. You got to ask yourself this basic question. If I wanted to deliberately sabotage a military operation by violating every single principle of sound operation and factual doctrine, what would I have done any different than what they did here? And the answer is, would I have done anything any different? The answer's got to be hell no. And now this is assuming the most bare-bone level of competence of any of the parties associated with this debacle. And, you know, aside, of course, from the senile dementia in the White House. So here's the thing. So this, since I do not believe that level of incompetence exists, since I don't believe it, not even with senile Joe, I got to go here. I hate unsupported conspiracy theories. But when I see a bunch of dots that are outlined in neon and all that's necessary for me to do is take a sharp pencil and connect them, I'm going to connect them. Anybody calls me a conspiracy theorist or not. And look, like I said, man, the CBCP is calling their chips. They got the goods on the Biden family corruption beyond probably what we already know from existing investigations and books like Peter Schweitzer's book and Crackhead Hunter's laptop. Look, we know the Chinese have already offered economic aid to the Taliban for reconstruction. You know they're going to be among the first major powers to offer diplomatic recognition to the Taliban. You know they're going to negotiate with them to secure or exert outsized control over Afghanistan's rare earth materials. Now, if you couple that with China's already copious supply of these same deals, these same minerals and resources that are necessary to make electric vehicle batteries, that's going to further their dominance over the world supply of raw materials that's necessary to manufacture them. And don't forget, Biden's criminal regime has mandated 50% of production of electric vehicles by 2030. This will conform to the insidious Green New Deal and the Great Reset objectives. Now, all this is enabled is going to buy the silence of Biden's Chinese masters with what they may know about possible treasonous, if not outright criminal collusion with them. Now, if anybody knows of a better explanation for this fiasco in Afghanistan, other than the normal hatred and disdain for the United States by the Marxist progressive left, their lunatic desire for tyranny, and a fundamentally transformation of everything that is, I'd like to hear it.
Hey, can you hold there, Sarge? I know I'm in the archives right now, but I just wanted to bring Bianchi on here. Hey, Bianchi, how you doing?
Hey, it's Fruitback number two reporting to duty.
All right, Fruitback number two.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff going on. We got to be prepared. I'm down here in a hurricane just coming in, so as long as I don't end up somewhere out in the middle of the Atlantic, I'll be all right.
Okay.
Oh, man, you got a raft or a boat somewhere. I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
You ain't got to worry about it.
But I don't know what to tell you. Sarge pretty much laid it out. All we got to do is follow 1, 2, 3. Let's get it done.
Yeah. And I was a little passionate today because I'm pretty ticked off about, you know, what I see going on in the country today and how the elites, it's like they just totally blow us off because, you know, we're not at their level and they just totally ignore anything that we say or do. And all they care about is their best interest. And Joe Biden, like I said, that speech he made the other night, he looked like I mean, he wasn't even there. It was like his eyes were just glassy, and he was just staring off in the distance, and just his tone was monotonous. I was like, you know, and this is the guy people say won 80 million votes. Are you kidding me?
Any black person that voted for him got blood on their hand. And I want to say this, too. That one act that Congress just passed that's supposed to protect Asians, the hate bill for Asians, protecting Asians, remember this now, Afghanistan's are Asians, too. So if they come to the country and they start acting up and we retaliate against them, that'll be the first thing they holler. Hatred, hatred.
Man. Actually, you and I both know, Pyongyi, that the people, anthropologically, the people of Afghanistan are classified as Caucasian. But, you know, when it comes to the left, whatever suits their ideological purposes is what they're going to be at the moment. Now, if Afghanis come to the United States and become as successful as, say, Asians, Koreans, or Cambodians, then they'll become white people again.
Yeah.
It all depends on what purpose the left needs them to serve.
Well, the thing is, they're from the continent of Asia. Even Russians are Asian. Indians are Asian.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Britain, Spain, they all Asian.
Geographically, yes, but anthropologically, Afghans are considered Caucasian for the most part.
Yeah, but their law says Asian, so you better be careful. If I smack one, they're going to want to call me a hate crime.
I guess so, man. But like I said, this whole thing, there's no way you're going to assume this is just sheer incompetence. And there's always that element there. Don't get me wrong. Biden does not know what he's doing, even though he was sold to us as a competent, old, steady hand. That's what they sold him to us as. But I just cannot believe that this thing went the way it did unless it was a nefarious purpose in play, because every single thing you could do to screw up the operation, they did.
Exactly. Yeah.
They didn't leave stone unturned in that regard.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling how things are going in this country today. Man, I tell you, this now y'all can kind of understand why I don't like getting into politics.
We didn't need much in the way of prompting, Vince. Trust me.
I mean, really?
We kind of figured that out. Yeah, you got a point there. Man, I mean, these assistant Democrats called Rhino Republicans, they're in on it too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I used to call them Rhinos. Now I'm calling them assistant Democrats.
Yeah. You got a whole bunch of bases covered. You know.
Yeah.
I'm like, well,
man,
trust in our government. You know, it's gotten to that point. You really can't trust anyone.
No. You know, that is one of the reasons why the founding fathers, in their infinite wisdom, those horrible racists, that is one of the reasons why they said the federal government is supposed to be limited to enumerated powers that are in the Constitution. Most of them are found in Article 1, Section 8, and the subsequent amendments to the Constitution. That's what the federal government is supposed to do. Not because we think the federal government is so good, but because we think it is so subject to corruption and venality. If you limit what it can do, then you limit the harm it can do, and you make sure it focuses its attentions on those things that are most important for the federal government to do. We've now gotten to the point where we think the federal government should do everything that is conceivable for them to do to correct any problem that should be within the purview of the various states.
Yeah.
Well, if it hadn't been for the Bill of Rights that was pushed by the anti-federalists, the Constitution would be the worst thing you ever could imagine, because it would have benefited those at the top, and like a John Jay. But luckily, we got what we have. It could be improved, but who back at that time could foresee what's going on today?
What we see is absolute lawlessness. This is when you have lawlessness, it doesn't matter what you've got in the Constitution. The Supreme Court tells the Biden administration once that you can't nationalize the real estate industry. It is unconstitutional. It is illegal. You cannot do it. So what is their response? To extend it under a different name. So they had to come back again and slap them down again.
Yep.
I don't know if they're still going to end it or not. They are lawless. There's nothing you can do about lawlessness other than to retaliate with some sort of forceful response when people decide to be lawless. And that includes the government. This government is lawless.
Yeah. But guys, we're already in the archives and everything, and I got something I got to do. But once again, I tell you, you know, I love it when you guys come on here because y'all give me so much information. And I really appreciate you all coming on here and whatever. And y'all keep doing what you do. I mean for real, because I would like to say we got a country to save. Like I said earlier, I'm kind of pessimistic somewhat. You know, I'm not sure we can get out of this or whatever, but it just ticks me off. One of the things that really ticks me off is when you're trying to reason with somebody or you're trying to explain something and they don't want to listen. And that's how I see this government. They just don't want to listen because they have their own special interests at heart, you know. And it's crazy. And like I said, those of you all who know the power of prayer, please pray for this country because, my goodness, it's not looking good right now.
Well, you're doing a good job, too, Mitch. After all, you got the radio show, and you're trying to bring the word to the people as far as wide as can be done with your present scope of your show. So you're doing the right thing, too, and you keep it up as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And Bianchi, you know, hey dude, I was listening to y'all last night on I forgot the name, the National Socialist something show last night, and I said I was just going to check this show out. And then I hear Bianchi. I said, oh, wait a minute. This show is probably good then because Bianchi's here.
You got that right.
Well, I tell you, we may need some unlikely allies because I'm telling you right now, it's going to take all hands to repel this. Right now, the greatest domestic threat we have is the government of the United States, the federal government of the United States. That is the greatest domestic threat we face. It is.
Yeah.
And all hands got to come on deck to stop it. Then we can go back to fighting with each other after we put it in its place. It's got to be put in its place.
Yeah.
That's right.
And on that note, I'm going to have to end it right there. Hopefully next week, God willing, I will have another edition of Black by Color Only. I don't know what I'm going to talk about next week, but, hey, when it comes up, I'll drop it down on you guys. Thank you all. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good Saturday.